Instead of a sermon this week, we want to try something a little bit different. We've never done this before, and we haven't rehearsed it either, so we're not quite sure how it's going to work. But 2020 has been an unusual year in all kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. I think, I would say as a preacher, you preach sermons week in, week out, and in normal life, maybe once or twice a year, if that, you prepare a sermon and you just get a sense that it's something significant and that God's really spoken, or it just seems to, it almost falls into place without you having to write it. And that's not normal. That's, as I say, once in a blue moon. And during 2020, I would say that's happened half a dozen times, maybe more. And so it's really felt like, despite everything else that's been going on, it's been a year where God has spoken a lot, we've felt, as we've been preparing sermons and preparing to teach. And so what we want to do for a few minutes, and I don't know how this is going to work, is to have a conversation with each other about the things that we believe that God has really spoken to us about, and because it's been as we've been preparing sermons, we think that God's spoken to the church. And we want to do it as a conversation because we want to invite you into the conversation. We don't want this to be an artificial two of us talking together on camera. We would really like to invite you to share with us and with each other how you feel that God has spoken over 2020. It's kind of not surprising in a year that's been such a crisis and so different from normal life that God would speak more. But it has felt quite unusual, the amount that we felt that. And so we just want to spend a few minutes recapping the things that we feel he's talked to us about.
And to start off, I just want to share a quote that we shared this year. And it's from Kierkegaard. And he says this: life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forward. It's crucial to reflect on the past, to learn from it and prepare ourselves for the days that are to come. And that's kind of what we're trying to do this morning, isn't it, as we think through and talk through how we believe God has been speaking to us.
Yeah.
So, Paul, the thing that has dominated this year has definitely been COVID. Well, not this year, last year, actually.
Last year, yeah.
Last year. It's affected every part of our lives. And you've said a few times that you felt that God is using COVID to teach us and to change us as a church. So what do you think he's been teaching us?
I think there have been a whole load of ways in which church has been dismantled this year. Most obviously in the fact that we're doing services like this and we're not together on a Sunday. But actually so much of what we are familiar with having as structures and activities and the things we do in church, so much of that has been taken away. And I think God has been using that to remind us about what is central to being church. And I think he's also been using it to remind us that what God is doing in the world is bigger than just the church, if that makes sense. I think sometimes when we're inside church, we tend to get very self-focused and we feel like God is the same shape and size as the activities that we run. And God is at work in so many more ways, in so many more places. And I think as we've had to close down so much here, it's been an opportunity to be reminded that God is at work far, far further afield and in far more ways than we're necessarily aware of. If you remember back, it's quite a while ago now, back at Pentecost, we looked at the story of the guys in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit to come and thought about the fact that just very, very shortly before that, they'd been saying to Jesus, "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And buried in that question was a whole load of assumptions about Israel being the centre of God's activity on earth, and if other people were ever going to come to have a relationship with God, their first step was going to have to be saying, well, we're awfully sorry, we've obviously had it wrong up till now, please can we be part of your in crowd in Israel? And so the question was, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And then the Holy Spirit came, and it was like all of their perceptions were changed and their horizons were broadened, and suddenly they were speaking in tongues which enabled people from every nation to hear the word of God proclaimed in their own languages, and suddenly their perspective was, the good news of Jesus is for everybody, everybody's invited, everybody's included. And I think we've been taken back to that. It's like the walls of the church have been knocked down. Church isn't happening in seclusion. Church is happening on the internet for everyone to see. Mm. And I think it's just been a change of perspective for us.
Mm.
I know that you've thought a bit about the things that might hold us back from, I guess, throwing ourselves into that change of perspective. Tell us a little bit about that.
I think God's really been impressing upon us the importance of us remembering who we are in Jesus. And I know a few months ago, I was probably getting ready to get my winter wear out and thinking about my favourite brand of boot, which a little bit of a commercial here is a Doc Martin. And it struck me that old Doc Martens always have something stamped on the sole, and what it says on the sole is guaranteed for life. And I think we forget that our lives in Jesus, our salvation, our freedom, our confidence, our fullness, if you like, is guaranteed for life because of what he's done for us. And when we forget that, we get crippled by fear, or we think that we've got to earn his approval or his goodwill, and we forget that God in all circumstances has got our back. And I think this year has just been a year where I've said, God is stamping over our lives, guaranteed for life. And he's saying, get those boots on and walk it out.
Kind of like the song we've just sung about it never being able to be stolen away.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So it's really hard doing that. It's easy for me to say that's what God's saying, but it's really hard for us maybe to be living our lives as Christians without being together in church, because that's how we encourage each other and so on and so forth. So how do you think, or maybe what do you feel God has been saying to us as to how we face those challenges?
Yeah, I mean, it is hard, and it has been hard. It's been a very hard year. I think part of the lesson has been getting taken back to basics about what it means to be church. Last year has been a year in which we haven't been going to church, but we've still been being church. And I think that's really important, because when your sort of way of thinking about church is it's something I go to and there's lots of activities and we do lots of stuff, and it can kind of let me off the hook of having to do any of that stuff because we do it and I'm part of that. And what we've had this year is that all of that has been stripped away. And the picture that I've had in my mind, I won't say this is a picture from God because it's not felt like that, but it's just been my sort of mental image as I've thought about it. We haven't had a bright light of 150 of us all together in one place, but we've been placed as 150 lights around Southampton and the surrounding areas, and further afield as we've gone online, more people have joined us that aren't necessarily in the same geographic place. And all of us, every one of us, is being called to be a holder of hope. Every single one of us is being called to be a source of love and care for one another and compassion for people around us. Every single one of us is individually called to be a signpost to Jesus, encouraging and inviting and directing other people to find hope for themselves. And yeah, it's brought us back to basics because we're having to do that by ourselves rather than relying on the fact that when we're all together, there's always somebody else that's doing it. And it has been hard, but I think it's been really good as well because it's reminded us of who we are. And it's, to me, it's exciting. It's like the church has been uncontained. We used to be contained in a building and now we're not. We're everywhere. I mean, we always were, but now we really are. And I think what God's doing through that is really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think all of that becomes easier, and it sort of goes back to some of what you were saying before, if we can live our lives with that deep set knowledge and belief that God is for us and with us and has got our back, I think was the phrase you used, wasn't it? And I know you've thought a bit about how that might, if we really knew that down here, that might affect the way that we go about witnessing and sharing our faith. Tell us a bit about that.
I think, I don't know, there's something about that when we're all together, we kind of get a confidence of us all being together in a building or in a place or in an activity. And with us having been scattered, I think we forget maybe that we're not alone. I wonder whether we forget that we're not going into a conversation by ourselves. God's already there. I think we forget that we're not encountering something that's a bit of a surprise. God's already there. You know, God is working in those places that we're going into. And instead of us thinking, oh, all by myself, I've got to somehow bring God into this, what he's saying is, I'm here. Are you going to catch me up and join in? I'm here. Come and be part of this. And I think that's a learning journey in a way that we have been on, and maybe we need to continue to be on.
Joining in with what Dad's doing.
Absolutely, totally and utterly. Come over here and join in the game.
Cool, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, brilliant. So, it is good to talk in the abstract, isn't it? If I was playing devil's advocate, I would say that it makes what you've been saying, that this is just a year of getting less from God, but doing more for him. You know, we've got to do more. Yeah? So is this your message to us? We've just got to
try harder.
Try harder, work harder, do more, be more active.
I mean, yeah. No, I hope it's not. I think what I'm saying is more about it. It's taking us back to actually something that as Baptists we hold really dearly, which is the picture of the body. That church isn't about one or two people that do everything. It isn't about some people having roles that are more important than others. It's about every single person having a part to play. And I think In a healthy church, that's every single one of us. Every single one of us seeing, I'm trying to think of a less religious phrase than the activity of God's kingdom, and I'm struggling a bit, but seeing what God's doing. I mean, it's what God's doing is something that we all get to join in with. And it's an amazing privilege. It shouldn't feel like hard work. I think if it feels too much like hard work, we might be going about it wrong.
Yeah.
It's a great privilege. It's a great blessing, actually, getting to join in with what our Father's doing. It's like a little kid saying, Dad, can I help? Because it's exciting to work alongside God. But I think as well, in a healthy church, we know that God is with us and for us, as you were saying a moment ago, and God is blessing us. A little earlier last year, we looked at some verses in Genesis 12 where God speaks to Abraham And he says, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And one of the things that I felt that God has been reminding us of and maybe teaching us in a new way this year is that he is good to us. He is blessing us. He is pouring himself and his resources into us. And what he doesn't want us to be doing is going, this is for me, this is mine. He wants us to be channels of blessing. So as he blesses us, and as we bless one another in his name, that then flows on to others. And so we become people who invite people. We become people who pray for people. We become people who pick up the phone and call somebody else in the church family and encourage them and ask them how they're doing and see that as part of our role because we're family. We become people who, I mean, it's been wonderful the last few weeks, we become people who share our stories more and more. And I've been so excited by the people that we've had here on these sofas the last few weeks who have said, I've got a story about what God's been doing in my life. And to them, that might have felt like a little thing, but to other people who have been joining in the service, that's been a massively encouraging thing. And so they're little things that we can do, but it's joining in with what God's doing, and it's passing on the blessing of what God's doing to other people. So, wow, there's quite a lot in all that. Has there been anything else particularly that you felt that God's spoken to you about this year?
I felt earlier in the year, in the summer, that I had a really quite a profound picture from him. And that was of somebody standing in the rain and getting absolutely drenched, absolutely soaking wet, to the point where you could sort of wring almost everything out of clothing and hair and the lot. And to me, that was the invitation that God was saying, come and get completely drenched in me. I want to saturate every part and space in your life. And it reminded me of something that was set up in the Barbican a few years ago, and they had this really clever installation where there was rain pouring down on this installation, but because there was a way of communicating, these raindrops were being communicated with as people stood. It was motion sensed driven, and as people stood under this rain, so the raindrops were directed away from the person, and you could stand in the rain and not get wet. And for me, God was saying that for some of us, maybe for all of us in some areas of our lives, we're living our life like people standing in the rain, but there's motion detectors that's stopping us having our lives drenched and saturated in him.
So is that because God doesn't want some of us to get drenched with his presence?
No, I think we're putting umbrellas up over certain parts of our lives and saying, not that bit, God, don't invade that part of my life. I don't want to get wet. And I know that as a discipline, I've been trying I hate the rain, you know, the actual physical rain. I hate getting wet. It makes my hair go funny and all of that stuff. You know that so well. But I've been trying at times to allow the rain to be symbolic of God. Yeah, I don't want to get drenched. But if you want to drench me today, you must, because it's been that way of inviting him in to kind of soak into the bits of my life that I might be saying, eek, don't mess my hair.
And I guess that sort of brings us full circle to what we were talking about just before Christmas.
Absolutely.
And some of the fears that hold us back.
Absolutely.
And we didn't particularly talk about fear of what God might do, but that is a fear that holds us back.
Yeah.
That if we really say, send the rain, pour yourself out, that God might do something scary, or God might do something that we find takes us to a place that we don't feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
And I felt very strongly as I was preparing. I've rarely had two sermons that I found easier to prepare and quicker to prepare, because it really did feel like God was speaking into those. And I'm convinced that he wants us to live free of those fears. Mm. It's not that we'll never be afraid, but to be free of the fears that hold us back from experiencing the life the way he wants us to. And I'm quite sure that fear of what God might do is one of those fears, because he's only got good things for us. He only wants to bless us. Yeah. And yet he will revolutionise your life. He will take you to places that you've never been, but only in a good way. Mm. Not in a stripping you down and leaving you vulnerable way. He will be there with you. He's got your back. Mm. I think that's probably a good place to stop, because we've been chatting for quite a long time. But we've recapped these things, not because we want to big up the sermons that we've preached the last year, but because genuinely, as we talked at the end of 2020, we both did feel that God had spoken quite a lot. And when he speaks, we don't want to lose it. We don't want to just sort of rush on past and not take the time to reflect on the things he's said. And it's probably a good place to invite you to join us in a few days' time. In fact, in 2 days' time, we've got a prayer meeting on Tuesday, the 4th of January. Yep. We always try and start the new year with a time of prayer. And this year, obviously, we can't do that by getting together in the building, but we can do that on Zoom. And we want to pray, we want to invite God into the new year, and we want to hear what he's saying for the new year. And so please join us. Please come ready not only to pray by talking, but come ready to pray by listening. And let's see together what God wants to say.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you want to introduce the song?
I will introduce the song. We're going to sing. Let me see where it is on our notes here.
In Christ Alone.
We're going to sing In Christ Alone, except on our notes it says Oceans.
We've sung In Christ Alone, we'll sing Oceans.
I think we'll sing Oceans.
Let's do that.